Praise the Lord. Well, I prayed about what we would study next, and I just thought, well, probably the Lord would lead me to a book. He didn't lead me to a book yet, but he did give me an idea for the next three lessons, if the Lord should tarry and if it continues to be the Lord's will. You know, our Lord, he has three great offices. That, of course, is prophet, priest, and king. And while on the earth, Jesus' primary ministry was a prophet. And we will probably just cover the prophet tonight. I've already been studying ahead for the others, but we're going to stick with his office as prophet. And you know, often we think of prophecy as predictions of the future only, which certainly is a part of biblical prophecy. But there is so much more to be learned. We find a definition of a prophet in Exodus, the 7th chapter. So turn to the book of Exodus, 7th chapter, and I'm going to read just the first two verses here. It's always good that we don't have to rely on some book of man to find out what a word means. We just have to look in God's word, and so we have a definite definition of a prophet in this chapter, verses 1 and 2. The Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron, thy brother, shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron, thy brother, shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of the land. A prophet receives a word from God. And Moses acted in that place of God by passing on the revelations that he received from the Lord to Aaron. And then Aaron's function then was as a prophet. So a prophet is authorized to give God's word to another. And throughout the Old Testament, God spoke to his prophets, and he's the one that called them. He spoke to his prophets through visions and through dreams. But Moses, he spoke face to face. Let's turn to Numbers, the 12th chapter. Numbers 12. I'm going to start with the first verse, and I believe I'll read down at least through 8. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? You see their criticism here? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. That's quite a commendation, isn't it? Moses is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So Moses, and of course all of the prophets of the Old Testament after him, were authorized to speak for God with a message. And that message originated with God, not with them, but with God. And then they were to communicate it to whom God directed them to communicate it. And Moses is regarded as the greatest prophet in the Hebrew scriptures. Now, there were many prophets and wonderful men called of God, but Moses is regarded as the greatest prophet of the Hebrew scriptures. God said of him, he's faithful in all my house. We read that in verse 7. God lifted him up, yet at the end of Moses' ministry, Moses prophesied of another like him that God would raise up. And I want us to turn to Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. I'll read verse 15. 18:15, the Lord thy God will raise up, now these are the words of Moses, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee and of thy brethren, like unto me, to him ye shall hearken. Let's go down to verse 17. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken, and I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words into his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. I have mentioned it before, and it is so true. The word of God cannot return void. Yes, let's turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, I just want to read verse 11 here. But it's so good for that. I hear the pages turning. I like to hear that. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 55, 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. And you know, his word goes forth, And of course, his word, it's a blessing. But if it is refused, that same word, which is a blessing, will judge them. See, his word cannot return void. It's either accepted or it's got same word that blesses one will judge the one that has refused it. Though there were many prophets that arose throughout the following centuries, none achieved the stature to which Moses prophesied, that one God would raise up one like unto him. And you know how many approximately passed? 1,400 years passed. And of course, there was many prophets in the Old Testament, wonderful men. But when 1,400 years approximately passed, John the Baptist, a Levite, came on the scene. Let's turn to the book of John. The first chapter. I'm going to start reading with verse 19 concerning John the Baptist. He was a Levite. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites unto Jerusalem, or from Jerusalem, to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elijah?" That's the Greek for Elijah. And he said, "I am not." "Art thou a prophet?" And he said, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ or Elijah, neither that prophet?" You get that? That prophet? John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is, who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing." Verse 29. "And the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.'" Oh, praise the Lord. "This is he of whom I said, 'After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not.' But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water." Yes. He points them to Jesus, and that was his ministry, to prepare the way of the Lord and to prepare them. And he preached, of course, I can't say the word. What did John the Baptist preach? Help me. Repentance. Thank you. Sometimes the door just does not open. You don't maybe experience that yet, but just wait. The years are coming if the Lord should tarry. I knew what I wanted to say, but it just would not come to me. Well, he points them to Jesus and the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They record Jesus' prophetic ministry. It's from his baptism, which started his public ministry, to the cross. When we say he had three great offices, his office as prophet was from his baptism unto the cross. He was the greatest prophet that ever lived, and he was the last biblical prophet. There's ones that claim to be prophets today. He is the last biblical prophet. Now, I'm going to get a little bit ahead of us, but we will be coming back to those days. But I wanted to read what Peter spoke concerning this, and I want us to turn to the book of Acts, the third chapter, Acts 3. And this is Peter in Peter's sermon, and he refers to Moses' prophecy. Let's start with verse 22. And Peter says, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." They were faithful, weren't they? Faithful prophets. "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed." Oh, yes, in Christ. "Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." And then he was not the only one that referred to Moses' prophecy. So did Stephen in Acts 7. In the 7th chapter of Acts, Stephen gave a wonderful sermon to the Jewish people. And let's start reading with verse 37 of Acts 7. Acts 7, 37. And he says, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he." This is he. Let's go down to 51, verse 51. He's winding up his sermon right here, and he says, he already knows of their rejection. He says, "Ye stiff neck and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted?" Oh, they not only were persecuted, many of them they put to death. "And they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers." Well, as I said before, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself right here. So we want to consider the days that he was here upon this earth and he was fulfilling his prophetic ministry. After Jesus performed the miracle of multiplying the loaves of bread, some Jewish people suspected that, well, he might be the one. Let's go to John, the 6th chapter. I'm so glad we're familiar with John, that we studied it. certainly a lot of things that we have that basis. John 6:14. Now, this is after that wonderful miracle of the bread being multiplied, a wonderful miracle of the Lord. And so, verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, is this of a truth that prophet that should come into the world? As Georgia says. Yes, some suspected, could this be the one? And then in another place in the 7th chapter I want to read of John, this is following Jesus taught on the last day of the feast, and that was the Feast of Tabernacles. And we want to read how some responded there. 7th chapter and verse 40 and 41. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, they heard his teaching, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? So we see how that there was a division, wasn't there, of what people thought. Well, most people we know by reading and studying the Gospels, and especially the Gospel of John, we know that most of the Jewish people did not believe. But there always were believers, but most did not believe. Jesus, as much as told them who he was, when he read aloud in the synagogue in Nazareth. And we read that in Luke, the 4th chapter. Let's turn to Luke. Luke 4. And I'm going to begin with verse 16, because we need to set the scene. And what he is reading when he picks up the word, it is Isaiah, the 61st chapter, verses 1 and 2. But let's start here with Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me. He hath anointed me. Christ means the anointed one. Anointed. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Did he not plainly is referring that he's the one that I am? He says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And they all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Yes. There we see the... Well, let's go to verse 24. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Well, they didn't accept him, did they? Isn't this Joseph's son? Well, Jesus clearly said that what he spoke, his ministry, his teaching, was not of his own initiative. He reminded them over and over that he was speaking the words that his Father gave him. I want us to turn back to the book of John, and let's go to chapter 7. John 7. I think that this stood out very clearly when we studied this book. The 7th chapter of John, I'm going to read verse 16 and 17. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. See, he's just the prophet, right? If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Let's go to the 12th chapter of John. John 12. And verse 49 and 50, the last two verses of the 12th chapter. Jesus' words, red letter, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father hath sent me. He gave me a commandment that I should say what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Let's go to the 17th chapter. John 17, and I'm going to read verse 7 and 8. Again, Jesus' words. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. This Jesus is speaking, this is his prayer unto his Father. And he says, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and they have known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Yes. So, see how that he received the word from the Father, and he gave it forth unto those that the Lord gave him. Well, every word that Jesus spoke was given unto him of the Father. We, after reading these three citations, we should have no other question concerning that. And so thus, his entire ministry was prophecy. The majority of his words were not predictive. Now, he did give some predictive words, but the majority of his ministry as a prophet were not predictive. His ministry mainly, I would say, was to reveal God's reveal God unto the people of the Jews in a way that was not seen before in the Hebrew scriptures. And the term father was significantly different. And he was revealing unto them the Father. And he also came to highlight the righteousness necessary for God's kingdom. That's surely in the Gospels that we read. And he also revealed the new covenant that would be established upon his death. Most of all, I would sum it up that he revealed the mind and the will of the Father unto Israel. And he also, by his very life, he manifested God's righteousness and God's love in redeeming mankind. Now, he also gave predictions, but when we consider the predictions that he gave, they were especially regarding Israel. He came unto his own, and those predictions were especially regarding Israel, such as Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. I'm not going to turn, and I'm not going to try to give forth those prophecies of future events for Israel. Maybe some other time we will, but not this time. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Jewish believers in the book that is called Hebrews, put it this way, and let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews. First, I want to read in chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. The Apostle Paul to Jewish believers. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things that were to be spoken after. But Christ is a son over his own house. Let's go to the first chapter of Hebrews. I want to read the first three verses. God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, of whom also he made the worlds. Yes, he made the worlds. There was not anything made that it was not made by the word. Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Well, there's our introduction to the next one. Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Well, Moses was a great prophet, but Jesus was far greater. So next time, the Lord willing, we're going to read of Christ's ministry as our great high priest. I've already been studying that. I so enjoyed it. Praise the Lord. We look forward to next time. And I look forward to the privilege of giving it out.
We'll be in Hebrew for that one.
You think? Praise the Lord. Well, we got some correspondence that